Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We know that Jude verse 22 says, if some have compassion, making a difference. We know that the Bible says that if you'll have compassion on people, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. There's a difference between somebody that cares and somebody that's just going through the motions. And what I'd like to preach on tonight is, do you believe your giving will make a difference? Do you actually believe that if you give a faith promise mission offering every Sunday for the next 52 Sundays in a row, do you actually believe that somebody will go to heaven because you gave? Do you actually believe that? Compassion is connected to giving. We see that in chapter 8, the last verse, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love. What's he talking about that proves their love? It's their giving. It's the context of chapter 8, 9, and 10. The only three times in the Bible where three consecutive chapters are devoted to the same subject, and that is the subject of giving, the grace of giving to get the gospel to the regions beyond. If it's the only place in the New Testament that three consecutive chapters are devoted to that one subject, it must be an important subject. And he said that it proves your love. It proves the sincerity of your love. For God so loved the world that he, what? He proved the sincerity of his love. Jesus loves me, this I know, because Calvary tells me so. As well as the Bible. What he did at Calvary tells me that he loves me. What his Father did by sending him to Calvary tells me that God really does so love the world. The world, the world, the world. Amen. Not just Texas and Alabama, but the world. Alabama would have never had Bear Bryant if it hadn't been for Texas. You got him from Texas A&M. Scoundrels. And then to add insult to injury, you got another coach from us after that. But he wasn't as famous as Bear Bryant. It proves, giving proves the sincerity of your love. And by the way, guys, that's why it means so much to your wife for you to remember her birthday. You forget that? Go ahead and try to convince her how much you love her right after you forgot it. Good luck on that project. Well, she'll be probably kind and gracious and say, it's all right, it's not a big deal. But do you believe your giving will make a difference? You'll get a chance to prove Sunday night whether you believe it or not. Chance to prove it. Do you believe that the money that you give to get the gospel preached to the regions beyond will actually reach some lost soul that would not have been reached if you had not given? Or are you really secretly a hyper-Calvinist? And God decided a long time ago who's going to heaven, who's going to hell, and what you give doesn't really make any difference. That's what all greedy, stingy, amen, miserable Scrooges believe. Because they want to dodge their responsibility to give to get the gospel preached to the regions beyond. And they're going to use for their excuse, you know, that God already predestinated who's going. So how much I give or whether I give really doesn't make any difference. That's one of the heretical things about that doctrine. One of many. Will your giving make a difference? Let me say, first of all, it'll make a difference to your pastor. You say, well, we're not giving to him, we're giving to missions. That's right. But you know what? It'll make a difference to him if you'll get serious about giving to missions. It'll encourage him. Man, look what they did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. I'm so happy to be the pastor of these people. Or you can Scrooge up on him. Say, well, I don't believe my little bit will make any difference. So you won't even bother to give any at all. And then if 100 people decide not to give any at all, you'll discourage your pastor. Okay, I don't know if y'all got this or not, but I think you got it. You got a good pastor. I know a lot of churches that would have been thrilled to have an opportunity to get a man with the experience, missionary experience, pastoring experience, knowledge of the Bible, heart for people. I know a lot of churches would like to find a guy like that. And God gave him to y'all. God just kind of put him in your lap. I was watching from afar, and I thought, I remember thinking, this is a miracle, how this is all working out. He lays it on Brother Joel's heart to try to rebuild what was crumbling in Greenville. Well, this is being streamed. I hope somebody don't take offense at me saying that. But it's just the truth, so I don't care. Brother Joel Logan wanted to see that church return to her former glory and was willing to give up a church full of people that loved him and supported him and prayed for him and were thrilled to have him as a pastor, and his parents were here, and he was willing to give all that up just to ask God to do a work in a church that helped him when he first got started. When he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And the whole country, the people that I knew, were saying, "Who's going to take Sweet Springs? And we got to praying. And I know you were praying. And God just moved Brother Joel out, moved Brother Brent in, and his parents didn't even have to move. I mean, how good is that? They can just stay at home, be comfortable, you know. Amen. And love the new pastor just like they love the old pastor. I tell you, that couple there, they believe in loving the pastor. Are you getting my point? I'll tell you what you're giving the missions will do. It'll encourage him that he made the right decision and he's right in the will of God. Now, you want to put some doubts in his mind? Just tighten up on that giving. Say, oh, we can't afford to do that. Oh, it's been a rough year. We're going to have to hold back this year. And then he'll start thinking, well, they did more than that when Brother Joel was here. Now I got a brother, an older brother. And so I put myself in that position and think, you know, if he had something going real good, and then I came in behind him and it started fizzling out, I'd get really discouraged by that because we were quite competitive growing up. We were competitive in any kind of sport you could name, baseball. The two of us would get out in a coastal Bermuda pasture and pitch to each other. So you tried to pitch where he couldn't hit the ball, because if he swung and missed, he had to chase the ball down. If he hit it, the pitcher had to chase the ball down because there were no more fielders. And we'd play baseball for hours out there and just chase the ball down when the other one hit it. So the goal was to never miss. Even if it was high, outside, a head shot, didn't matter. When you dodged, you still swung at it. Because you didn't want to have to chase it across the cow pasture. Now, you can probably imagine how that would go with a little competitive fire. I'm saying it'll encourage your pastor if you'll give to missions sacrificially. Not that he's going to put any of it in his pocket. Faith promise does not go to the pastor. Faith promise goes to these missionaries. You know how you can tell the difference between a man of God and a con man, a religious con man? A man of God will just preach the truth to you and love you no matter what you do with it, but a religious con man, he'll preach for 10 minutes and give his address for 20 minutes for you to send the money to. Joel Osteen comes to mind. He's from Houston. This verse, chapter 8, verse 24 said, show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Here's what Paul said their giving did for him. He said, it proved to me that you really do love souls, and it proved to me that you really do love me, the Apostle Paul, and I get to go around and tell everybody else how much you gave to missions. Well, somebody said, you know, the Bible said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Preacher Carl Lackey, the old mountain preacher, said, if my left hand didn't do any more than yours, I wouldn't want my right hand to know anything about it either. So if that's your favorite verse that you don't think anybody ought to know how much you give, could I remind you that Paul knew how much they were giving? And he went around boasting about it. I remember the first time I heard Brother Wood get up and say how much the church gave to missions. And that verse came to my mind, you know, because I grew up in a little country church, and that was one of their favorite verses. You know, the judge not lest you be judged, and, you know, don't let one hand know what the other's doing when it comes to giving. And the first time I heard him, I thought, I don't know if the Lord's in that or not. But then I watched other churches start getting provoked to give by his boasting on what the Shady Acres Baptist Church was giving to missions. So he said, it proves your love and of our boasting on your behalf. If you want to encourage your pastor, get involved with missions, amen, and he'll go somewhere and tell them what you did for missions, for the glory of God. And by the grace of God. It'd be a blessing to him. His boasting of their love and of their giving gave a vision to other churches of what could be done. Those that were doing little or nothing. I've preached in several churches the first mission conference that they ever had. I've watched them start with a little and they thought it was real big. And the years went by and their faith increased and their giving increased. And the next thing you know, they're saying, can you believe we gave that much in 1 year to missions? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they get excited about giving. Amen. I tell you the way giving needs to work. You need to give till it hurts and then you need to give till it's fun. Amen. If you've never had fun giving, you just really hadn't got into that spiritual zone yet. Amen. It can be more exciting than anything you've ever done. Preached at Brother Ron Ralph's in December, and I mean they shouted all over that building because they hit the $1 million+ mark for the first time in their faith promise. How exciting was that? I'm telling you, I was excited for them. The missionaries that were there were excited. Brother Henson was there. Amen. I'm talking about people got excited. There's nothing more exciting than giving money to missions and putting the missionary letters on the wall of the gospel going in all the world. My wife and I went to Mexico City, Brother Meyer, 1 month ago. We had a guy in our church that God called him to go to Mexico City as a missionary, Brother Walt Selman. And Brother Walt he'd already had about 3 heart attacks. And I kind of conned the church a little bit, I'll confess that. I told him, I said, you know, this man, he's 50 years old. He's older than that. He was 55, 58, however old he was, and had already had 3 heart attacks. He had 1 heart attack, bringing a van load of people to the church, and he didn't even tell his wife he was having a heart attack. He said, well, I'm going to pull in here. He said, and I'm going to get out, and then you drive the van on to the church. She said, this is the hospital. She said, in fact, this is the emergency room. He said, just go on, take him to church. He said, I'll still be here. Brother Walt Selman went to the emergency room, got out and told his wife to drive the van on to church. And he started raising money to build a building after being there a few years. And he got him a presentation put together, and instead of going around to independent Baptist churches, you know, like most people do, he started showing it to people he used to work with. Mostly lost people. He was an electrician by trade. He went to his boss and he showed it, and he went to another guy that he worked with and he showed it, and they started giving $5,000, $10,000. I decided, man, that's a place to raise, amen, mission money. They still couldn't believe that this guy quit his job as an electrician to go to Mexico City to preach the gospel. And then when they saw pictures of the building, and I said, "Now, Brother Walt, I preached the dedication of the building last month." And I said, "Brother Walt, you think you finally through with this? And I hate to tell you this, but we need another one of these in Mexico City. In fact, we need 100 of them in Mexico City." I asked the man that was driving us back and forth to church, "How many people? What's the population of Mexico City?" He said, 30 million. That's four times Guadalajara. It thrilled me to hear about you going to Guadalajara. What a great need. Oh, I'm telling you, giving to missions will encourage a preacher. I went down there to preach that dedication and I saw that beautiful building. They had tile floors. I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful building. And the real estate agent that handled the transaction came to the dedication. The previous owner of the property came to see this beautiful church on the property that she used to own. I asked her if she had any more property. She said no. And they were happy about what the Lord had done. And they were not even saved. Wow. Wow. But they heard the gospel at that dedication service. One man brought a taxi cab driver and his wife, and they did get saved in that service. So now if anybody in the church needs a ride back and forth from church, amen, they got a taxi driver. How good is that? I'm saying it'll encourage your pastor. So I got up to raise Brother Selman's support when he said God called him. And I told the church, I said, "Well, you know, he's already had three heart attacks. If he does 3 years of deputation, he'll croak before he ever gets to the field." So I said, "What we need to do is raise his support tonight." People started giving $50, $100 a month, $25 a month. We raised his entire support on a Sunday night service. All they had to do is pack two suitcases apiece and head to Mexico City.
Praise God.
Amen. I'm still waiting for him to heart attack out. I told him, I said, "You'll get a full reward for supporting this man his entire ministry, and it'll only take 2 or 3 years." That's a good deal. But he's still going. Pretty good. Do need to pray for Brother Walt Selman. He's, you know, when you've had that many heart attacks, it's, everything's just not like it used to be. But he'll tear up that quick over the souls in Mexico City. And I believe with all my heart, every dollar we send to him will help reach somebody with the gospel. Are you convinced of that yet? Are you convinced of that yet? Or is it just part of your duty as an independent Baptist to get involved in missions? Giving makes a difference. Compassion makes a difference. It'll make a difference in the heart and life of your pastor. It'll make a difference in the lives of other churches. He said in verse 2, "For I know the forwardness," in chapter 9, verse 2 of 2 Corinthians, "I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." If people start coming around your church and seeing you excited about giving to missions, excited about having a mission conference, excited about putting the flags up from around the world, amen, excited about hearing the missionaries report on their field, excited about having a family ready to go to PNG, amen, just waiting for the paperwork, they see you excited about it, it'll provoke them and they'll get excited about it. They'll go back to their church and say, "Pastor, we need to do more for missions. You know, over there at Sweet Springs, they're really doing a good job."
Yeah.
Giving is contagious.
Yes, sir.
I mean, surely you don't want to sit there and watch everybody else all excited about giving. Here we go again. All they care about is our money. You know what? If you got that attitude, you're not going to give any anyway. If that's your attitude, all they want is our money, I'm going to prophesy that you didn't give anything toward building this building. The people that gave the money to build this building we're in tonight, amen, they got excited about giving, they wanted to give, they enjoyed giving, and they're still giving. And if you're sitting there saying, well, what I want to know is what happened to all that money that we gave? You didn't give any, cowboy. All you did is criticize the people that did give. About how foolish they are. They ought to be taking care of their family instead of giving all their money to the church. Giving's contagious. You see somebody get excited about giving, the next thing you know, you'll get excited about giving. It's kind of like shouting. I mean, if you just need one starter. Huh? We used to have starter buttons in pickup trucks. Anybody remember those?
Yeah.
Button in the floorboard, you push that thing with your foot, and that's how you'd start that pickup. So you boys don't know anything about what I'm talking about. You guys are not going to believe this, but we used to have phones that it had a rotary dial on it. I got them in my antique shop, and teenagers would come in there and literally stick their fingers in those holes. And they'll say, how does this work? And I'll walk over and I'll go like this. They'll say, you got to wait for that thing to go all the way back. I said, yeah, we wasn't in a big hurry back then. Teenagers that have never seen a rotary dial telephone. I'll throw you out a little money-making hint here now for those of you that see them in yard sales for $2 or $3 a piece. Just buy all they got. You can sell them to a dealer like me for $20. I sell them for $45. Wow. I sold one about 2 months ago for $85. Just a rotary phone. Had a guy come in there the other day, and he said, do you happen to have that old Pong game? I said, no. I said, how much is that worth now? He said, I hate to tell you because you might find one. He said, about $300. He said, or more, depending on the condition. Another guy came in there and he was looking for something and he actually found it. He asked me if I had one. I can't even remember now what it was, but it was one of those real early video games. I don't know, Pac-Man or something. And I had $59 on it. Can you do any better on this? I said, no, because it's probably worth $200 or $300. He said, three. We're talking about the early video game. Everything is collectible. Quit throwing your junk away. Sell it and put it in the mission offering. The reason the prices keep going up is because so many nuts throw it all away. Like my Roger Maris rookie card I had one time when I was a kid. I don't know what happened to that card. Man, I wish I had it now. I'm getting depressed. Let me get back to preaching. Hey, there's money you can make and give to missions if you'll just wake up. I mean, you got a smartphone. You say, I don't know anything about that. Well, you got a phone that knows. Ask your phone, how much is Roger Maris' rookie card worth? It'll tell you. Ask it anything. People said, how in the world do you know how to price all this stuff in here? Because I got a 5,000 square foot building and it's probably got 50,000 items in it. How do you know how to price this stuff? Got a smartphone. How much is a Mickey Mouse doll worth that's stamped, whatever it's got stamped on it? It's not that hard. Your giving will be contagious and somebody else will give. It'll make a difference not only to your preacher. It'll make a difference to the churches that watch you give. It'll make a difference in this church. The more you do for missions, the more God will do for the Sweet Springs Baptist Church. How do you know? Chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Well, I just can't afford to give. Well, you can if you'll start giving. You just got to start giving, whether you can afford to or not. Amen. Just start giving. And next thing you know, you're reaping bountifully instead of reaping sparingly. I learned that on a peanut farm. Watching our neighbor across our north fence. He'd lean on that fence when my daddy was planting 100 pounds of seed to the acre. And our neighbor was planting 25 pounds of seed per acre. Because it just costs too much money to... I don't know how Lawrence Farley can afford to put that much money in the ground. And you don't even know if it's going to come up. Dad just keep putting that 100 pounds of the acre in there. Then come harvest time, my brother and I had two trucks. Dad had two bobtail trucks. My brother drove one, I drove the other, and was always racing to town with 20,000 pounds of peanuts on trucks that didn't even have brakes. I'm talking no brakes. Well, I take that back. I was the baby, so Dad let me drive one. At least the emergency brake would work a little bit. So you just learn to look. You're coming up to a stop sign. Okay, there's a gap after that car and that car. So you try to time it where you get right in behind that car that's in the front. Amen. You don't have to stop. To this day, I still drive that way. Brakes last me forever. But gasoline, I can run through a tank of gasoline pretty quick. Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you. He said, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. You need more blessings? Is that why we're having such a hard time? We really need the Lord to work. Well, just get involved in more mission giving. Amen. If you'll sow bountifully, he'll reap also bountifully according to verse 6. Well, how much should we give? Well, it just depends on how much you want to reap. You want to give 25 pounds of seed to the acre? Okay. You'll make about 25 bushels to the acre. You want to make 100 bushels to the acre? You got to plant 100 pounds of seed to the acre. At least that's the way it was when I was on the farm. All that may be changed now. But back in the 60s, that's the way it worked. You could figure out how much your crop was going to make by how much seed you was willing to put in the ground. Now, you know, there's a bell curve to that. There's an optimum amount that you can plant, and then after that, if you keep putting more, it starts coming back down because now you got them too thick in there. They don't have room to grow. Y'all already know all that. I don't have to preach that to you. Or do you? You still think the more plants, the better? Is that what you think? If you want little bitty, you know, squash, yeah, you'll have more of them, you know, but they'll be about this long and about as big around as a pencil. You want some big ones? You're going to spread them out a little bit. Same's true with okra or anything else. Amen. How much do you want to reap? That's how you figure out how much you want to give. Some people never get that. And so when it comes to giving, somebody has to break the ice and get the ball rolling and get it started. Somebody has to take a step of faith and say, I believe God will let me reap bountifully if I'll sow bountifully. So here I go. Trust in God. It'll bless your church. Well, I'm just afraid if we give more to missions that our church is going to suffer. I've never, ever seen that happen. Never one time have I seen that happen. Every church that I've seen their mission offering go up, Their general offering goes up as well, amen, because God's blessing them for their faithfulness to trust God, to give to begin with. And the next thing you know, they're getting better jobs, amen, or their business is blooming and prospering, and they're making more money than they ever made. I'm thinking, Brother Logan, about the air-conditioned man over there, amen. I've seen God bless that man over the years, and he just keeps a-giving more and just keeps rejoicing about how much he gets to give to get the gospel to the rich. Regions beyond, amen, and he just keeps making more and giving more and making more and giving more. Man, in our church one time, I was going to preach a mission conference just a couple of weeks after we had our mission conference. And I'd hardly got settled into the motel room. He called me up and he said, "Glory to God, preacher, tell them people that what you preach is the truth." I said, "Thank you for that endorsement. I appreciate that." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I took a step of faith on my mission offering, my faith promise." And he said, "I thought there's no way I'll be able to give that in a year. And God," he's in the construction business. He said, "I just signed a contract. I'm going to make my mission conference faith promise offering within 60 days for the whole year and have money left over." Our business is real slow. Make you a good faith promise offering Sunday night. And then you come tell me if God doesn't bless your business. I want to hear about it. And I've said that before through the years. I can only think of one example in all these years where a guy said, "Well, I started my own business. I took a step of faith." And he said, he went belly up. I did hear that one time, just in case you think you can just go out there and do it and it's always going to work. Just thought I should throw that out there for a little dose of reality. Yeah. You say, "Well, why do you think it didn't work?" He didn't know how to run a business. You do have to consider that. Yeah. Do you know what you're doing? He got in another business. Try it again. I told him, I said, when that one went belly up, I said, "Well, you know, maybe I'll just go get you a job and work for somebody else." No, I'm going to make this work. He tried again, boop, belly up. Still didn't work. Why? He didn't know what he was doing. He should have hired me to come tell him what to do. And the first thing I would have told him was quit spending so much money on yourself. That'll make a lot of people be more successful. Amen. You think because you got your own business now, you're just kind of living out of the business account. Quit paying your personal expenses out of the business account. Uh-oh, I'm losing people right and left now. "Well, it's my business. It's all my money." Yeah, but that's against all the principles of finances. Pay yourself a salary and stick to it. "Well, some weeks I have it and some weeks I don't." Okay, if you don't, skip your salary. Yeah. That's what Brother Wood did with me when I went to Houston. I was an associate pastor. I'd been there a few weeks. And he said, "Oh, by the way, we're not taking a check this week." Dumb me. I thought that meant we were going to get two checks the next week. No, he meant we're not getting a check this week. That's what he meant. So I put my bills up there, you know, where I had to look at them every day, and I'm really looking forward, you know, to 1 week from today when I'll finally get the money and start trying to catch up on this business. And next week rolled around and he said, "Oh, by the way, we're not taking a check this week either." You know what? That was one of the most valuable lessons I ever learned from that old preacher. And after he skipped that second week, I said, "Man, I got bills that are due." He said, "I'm going to tell you something, cowboy." He'd always say that if he was going to teach you a lesson. "I'm going to tell you something, cowboy. You better learn right now. It's not the church's responsibility to feed you. It's God's responsibility to feed you." And he said, "If you try to live out of an offering plate," he said, "you'll be so poor they can read the Dallas News through you." guess that meant really poor. So I learned within a few weeks, I was going to have to trust God instead of a salary. Somebody said, you're a pastor and you got a business? Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Brother Wood had been your pastor, you'd be figuring out a way to make some extra money. By the way, ladies, you say, well, I can't make a faith promise. I don't make any money. Why not? Everybody can make money. I mean, a little girl, she can make those cards and sell them. Huh? You think she makes a faith promise? You think God won't help her sell them cards?
Yes, he will.
He'll help her. I was witnessing to a Jewish woman. She was an atheist. That's what she told me. She said, well, I'm an atheist. And I already told you the story about, so what do atheists believe in? She told me, and I started whooping myself, dying, laughing. She said, don't be making fun of me. I said, you don't really believe that. You're Jewish, for crying out loud. I mean, what happened to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? But it was a few years later that she told me, she said, just thought you might like to know I'm not an atheist anymore. I said, really? What happened? She said, I've watched you for years now sell the most worthless junk for the most outrageous prices. And she said, it has to be because there's a God. Jews require a sign. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. Give God something to bless.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm. It'll be a blessing to your church. The more you give, the more it'll bless your church. The more you give, the more it'll bless these missionaries. Nothing will fire up Brother Meyer like knowing his home church is taking another step in their missions giving, and it'll give him confidence that he can go to Guadalajara. And like when Brother Walt Selman said, I believe God wants me to build a building. I said, church, that guy with the heart attack waiting to happen wants to build a building. What are we going to do? He said, let's help him. Happy. But it helped his faith and confidence in us by knowing every year we tried to do more. Amen. Instead of getting some kind of sad sob story about, well, Shady Acres, you know, they're giving us cut in half. That'd be discouraging, wouldn't it? By the way, missionaries, you really need the confidence of your pastor and your home church.
Right.
I said this one time, one of Brother Homer Smith's Word for the World mission candidate schools many years ago. I said, if you're sending church is not giving you, amen, at least $100 a month, you need to leave that church. Find somebody that's got a heart for missions. Boy, I got in trouble for that one. I got accused of trying to get missionaries to join our church. I was pastor at that time at East River Baptist Church. I couldn't handle all that stuff. But I still believe that. Amen.
Yes,
Brother Meyer needs to know if he gets in a jam down there in Guadalajara, right, some emergency comes up, that he's got a church behind him that will help him.
Amen.
We'll help too. But if the home church has to be the first to step up and help. It'll be a blessing to the missionary who receives this offering. that makes a difference in the missionary's life. It'll increase his faith. It'll encourage his heart. Amen. He'll have more confidence in his home church. He'll have more confidence in his heavenly Father. Amen. Because God's answering prayer and using his home church to answer those prayers. It'll get him to the field. It'll keep him on the field because of somebody's faithfulness to give a mission offering every Sunday. How many years you been there, Brother Meyer? 15 years. Whew. Church, that ought to make you want to get in on this deal. You know, I was talking about my wife last night giving, when she started when she was 5 years old, giving Faith Promise mission offering. And been doing it now for 60 years since then. And I got to thinking about how many kids I'm seeing in this church. Yeah. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 30, 32, 34, 36. About 40 kids in here. I know some of them are missionary kids, you know. I don't really know who all's what, but I also know there's some kids that are not here that'll be here Sunday probably. Yeah, man. Let's just say there's 40 kids. And if those 40 kids just gave a dollar a week, that's 170 something dollars, 4 1/3 weeks in a month. It's at least $170 a month. Well, that would take on probably two missionaries. Just if 40 kids would give $1 a week. What if 25 men gave $100 a week? And there'll be somebody in here that's probably far exceeding above that. But I'm talking about, don't discount the small amounts, because God might just take that child's $1 and just kind of break it and bless it and use it. And that $1 might do more than that working man's $100. Jesus didn't pick a rich person for the example of giving. He picked the widow that only had two mites and she gave it all. It's not how much you give. It's how much you got left that determines what a giver you are. People get to thinking, well, we don't have any rich people in our church. You don't need rich people. Rich people don't give. That's how they got rich. They're more interested in investing and hanging on to what they've got. Could I illustrate why it works like that? Let's just imagine tonight. This is imagination, okay? We'll pretend. Let's imagine that the Holy Ghost moved in here tonight and breathed on this service and told everybody in this service, give all the money you've got in the offering. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, and I'm not about to take up an offering. But we're just imagining, okay? And let's say one feller's got $2 to his name. That's all he's got. He doesn't have any investments. He doesn't have anything in the bank. He's got two $1 bills in his pocket. And the Holy Ghost says, give everything you got. You know, it's not going to kill him to give that $2.
Right.
He can give that $2 and call it, woo, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for letting me have $2 to give. Yeah. But let's suppose somebody has $2 million. You think he might have a little struggle with that?
That's hard.
Huh? That's how I know it's not the rich people that do the giving. They're going to hang on to it. But you give me a church of poor folks. That's why how Shady Acres gives so much to missions. Right. Brother Wood had a burden for the drunks and the drug addicts and the prostitutes, the first generation Christians. That's who he had a burden for, because he said when those people get saved, the first thing they're going to do is go get a job, which they've never had before. Their job before was sleeping during the day so they can work at night. Stealing, prostituting, playing cards, whatever. Shooting dope, selling dope. But he said those people get saved, the first thing they do is get a job, and then the second thing they do is they come and say, you know, I've never just had money every week. What do we do with this money? And Brother Wood told him, you give it to missions. That gospel that has changed your life needs to be preached in all the world and change other people's lives. Oh, okay. And they just start putting it in the offering plate to get the gospel to the regions beyond. But those of you that grew up in church, and your parents grew up in church, and your grandparents grew up in church, you done learned how to spend all your money on yourself. Houses, cars, there's nothing wrong with having those things. Four-wheelers, guns and ammo, rods and reels, and Louis Vuitton purses. I probably didn't get that name right. Or maybe you're still down on the coach purse level. I remember when that was a high dollar purse. Not anymore. The ladies with, I can't even think of the name of it now, Michael Kors. The ladies with Michael Kors purses are looking down on you if you're still carrying a coach purse. And the Louis Vuitton crowd, they're looking down on you if you're carrying a Michael Kors purse. Let me help you, girls.
Yeah.
Number one, quit carrying this purse that looks like a suitcase. Because if you go through my antique shop, you're going to be knocking stuff off the shelf. And I'm going to be following you around saying, so, you break, you buy. Just get you a purse. If you really want to go out, just get you a $50 purse instead of a $500 purse. And give the other $450 to missions.
Yeah.
And I'm really not preaching against those purses. I fine with me for you to carry. I like for ladies to buy expensive purses and get tired of them, so I can get them out of their trash and clean them up a little and sell them. That's how I know the names of those purses. I pay attention to those kind of things. If I go in a yard sale and there's a Michael Kors purse, I'm going to buy it if I can. But it's fixing, the price is going to go up as soon as I own it. I'm talking about it'll help the missionary that receives the offering. You know what? Some of you don't believe this, but it'll help the individual doing the giving.
Yes, sir.
It'll help you.
Yes, it will.
You say, how's it going to help me if I'm giving my money to missions? Well, he explains that down in chapter 9, verse 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Verse 9. It'll give you more righteousness. You see that in verse 9? Verse 10, he'll multiply the seed that you do sow if you're giving. to missions. And he'll increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11, you'll be more thankful to God if you'll give to missions. Verse 12, he'll supply your want. Verse 14, you'll have all these missionaries praying for you. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have praying for me than somebody that said, here am I, send me to Nepal. My brother Andy's got to have one of the hardest fields in the world. But he's there, and the light's shining. One of the darkest countries in the world. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have praying for me and my wife and my kids and my grandkids than Brother Andy Hearn and his wife. Or Brother Mike Dobbins, who went to Zambia for 18 years and knowing he was going to lose all his support, sent out a letter and said, thank you for your support. We're going to come home, try to get our kids situated. They're grown now. They can't stay with us on the mission field. How hard that decision must have been. But he did it, and he did it honorably. He didn't do like most guys do, come home and send that letter out 2 years after they get home. He sent it out immediately and just went and got a job. And got in church and served the Lord. And now he's ready to go back to Zambia. As soon as I heard he was going to Zambia, I told the secretary, I said, start sending the support again. Amen. He doesn't have to come by our church. Amen. And present the work again. We already know he's an honorable missionary. And Brother Mike Roberts went from shooting them to preaching to them in Vietnam. He had the same zeal both times. But he's got a different heart. I can't help but admire people that will give it all for the gospel.
Absolutely.
And to have the privilege to support them, and maybe when they get that support, maybe they'll say, Lord, bless Shady Acres Baptist Church. Bless Brother Danny Farley. Heard he blowed his knee out. Lord, help him get back on his feet. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have praying for me than God's best missionaries. I'm saying it'll help you. By them praying for you. And you know who else it'll help? You might argue with me on this one, but it'll help God. Because here's what the scripture says. It says, God loveth a cheerful giver. I mean, if you'll give and get excited about it, be cheerful about it, glory to God, it's mission conference time. Let's put the flags up. Good job, by the way, whoever did that. Let's get the missionaries in here. Let's have a skeet shoot. Let's just have a good time. Let's have a mission conference. Get the people in here. Hear the Word of God preached. Be challenged to do more in faith promise and send more missionaries out around the world. And God Almighty's saying, I love it. I love it. I love it. That's why I sent my son into the world to begin with. as the missionary to save the world. And now my children are getting excited about being involved in the Great Commission and getting the gospel preached to the regions beyond. I love it. I love it. And I love them. Doing the thing that's dearest to the heart of God.
Right.
Telling the world what His Son did for them.
Yeah.
So they can turn from their sins to Jesus Christ and be born again and never have to go to hell and go to heaven and live forever. Brother Andy, if you only reach one in your entire lifetime, it'll be one that was not going to get reached.
That's right.
If you had not made the sacrifice that you did.
That's right, preacher.
Worth every dollar and glory.
And I'll never believe that Calvinist doctrine.
No, sir.
If I believed that doctrine, I would believe he was wasting his
right,
life.
Right.
But I don't believe that doctrine. It's a whosoever will.
Yep.
And there may not be but one or five or ten. But I tell you what I really think will happen. One of these days, because of your faithfulness and because of God's people trusting and supporting, I believe one of these days there's going to be some kind of a breakthrough. Some kind of a breakthrough. That darkness. And when that breakthrough comes, you're going to say, oh, where has this been all these years? Look what God is doing. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it might not even happen till you're dead and in heaven. But that'd be all right too. For as much as you know, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hang on to it. Hang on to it. It's a blessing to the Lord. It'll make a difference to God. Knowing that you actually are thankful for what He did for you. Enough to at least give, if not go.